Turn to Judges, the 7th chapter. We're not going to do any Christmas stories. We've done those. We've done them forwards and backwards and in the middle of the year and in the Christmas time. So we're just going to continue on with our midnight Bible stories. We started a series on that back in the middle of the summer, and we're currently covering the midnight Bible story concerning Gideon. And I should say midnight Bible stories because there are several of them associated with Gideon. We're in the 7th chapter now of Judges. And Gideon, if you'll recall, when the Lord appeared unto him, and when the Lord appears to somebody in Scripture, it isn't just because. There's a specific reason. You know, when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, it was to anoint him as the Apostle Paul, and he had to become a believer, and he did right there. Well, when he came into Gideon, he was instructing Gideon, the least in his father's house, on how to be one of the Old Testament worthies of faith, a full overcomer. How to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east, who, if you'll read there, I think it's in Judges 7, 12, they were like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number. And so there was a bunch of them, and they had been impoverishing the Israelites for 7 years. And Gideon wasn't the only one who believed the Lord in Israel, but he's the one that's highlighted in these chapters. We also find that the Lord sent a prophet to speak words from the Lord to the children of Israel, but they didn't hear the words of the prophet. We found there in Judges 6, about verse 10. So the Lord appeared unto Gideon and gave him a 10-word announcement to Gideon. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That word mighty is gibber. It means a champion. Gideon didn't see himself that way. But God did. The Lord did. Well, when we get to Judges 7, and if you'll recall from Judges 6:34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. This empowered him to do things that he wouldn't normally be able to do. And he blew a trumpet, and the trumpet was used to call to assembly. And it called to assembly his family, from whom he sent out messengers to certain tribes of the children of Israel. And there was gathered unto Gideon 32,000 men. And they were too many, the Lord thought, to be used. Because if he used all 32,000 of them, they would have thought they delivered themselves from the impoverishing hand of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. So he narrows it down, and he narrows it down to 10,000. He told the ones that were fearful and afraid they could go home. Okay, I'm in. I'm going home. I left 10,000 who weren't. And in Judges 7:4, let's start there. Well, we've already started, but let's continue there. Judges 7:4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and note this, I will try them for thee there, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So the Lord was going to make the choices here. And we've already shown that Gideon really didn't know how to deal with as many men. We kind of indicated last week he was more or less a loner, and now he's got all these guys to deal with. But since, even though Gideon didn't know how to deal with all these men, the Lord did. And guess what? All Gideon had to do was follow the instructions and leading of the Lord. In so doing, he becomes a full overcomer. Well, guess what? How are we going to become full overcomers? We'll be the same way, that's right. Following the instructions and leading of the Lord. And we'll talk about this much today. The Word of God, that's where we follow. That's where we get our instructions. And so what made Gideon a mighty man of valor, a champion of faith, was that he was able and had the ability by simple faith to follow the instructions and leading of the Lord. And all full overcomers do this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, by the word of God. And that's found in Romans 10:17, a scripture we reference nearly every time we get up here anymore. And note that the Lord said unto Gideon, and he said unto Gideon in Judges 7:2, he said unto Gideon in Judges 7:4, in Judges 7:5, and the Lord said unto Gideon in Judges 7:7. And this is how Gideon was able to lead these men the Lord had sent unto him. The Lord said unto Gideon, and Gideon listened to the Lord. And it was the Lord who separated those who would follow Gideon from those who wouldn't. And what did the Lord use to separate those who would follow Gideon from those who wouldn't? Water. Now, water in Scripture often pictures the Word of God. Isn't that interesting? It's not true all the time, but often it is that water pictures the Word of God. And the Word of God, according to Revelation 19:13, is Jesus. And in the last part of Jeremiah 17:13, we read this statement, the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Living waters, does that ring a bell? What church are we in? Living Waters Tabernacle. What do we learn in Living Waters Tabernacle? The word of the Lord. In Jeremiah 2:13 tells us that the Lord is the fountain of living waters. And Jesus himself said in John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we attend Living Waters Tabernacle for the purpose to hear proclaimed in its fullness the word of God. And here in Judges 7:4, we find the phrase, I say unto thee twice. And when the Lord says, I say unto thee, it is the word of God speaking. Yeah. And this phrase, I say unto thee, is found in 19 verses of Scripture. 19 is the number that has to do with faith. Notice it said twice in this verse of Jeremiah 7:4. So that makes 20 times in Scripture, 19 verses and 20 times, that we find the words, I say unto thee. It is said twice in Jeremiah 7:4 as sufficient witness or as sufficient testimony that it was the Lord speaking to Gideon. Now, if this phrase, I say unto thee, is found 20 times. Anybody remember what the number 20 is? Yeah, redemption. 20 is the number of redemption. Romans 3:24 tells us that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is the word of God. Colossians 1:14 says this concerning Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The theme of the word of God comes up all over and over again, all throughout our studies, because the word of God is Jesus. The word of the Lord is Jesus. The word of his salvation is Jesus. The word of the Lord Jesus is Jesus. The word of truth is Jesus. The word of life is Jesus. Jesus is the word. He was in the beginning with God, John 1:2 tells us. And he was the word of God, John 1:1 tells us. And he came full of grace and truth, John 1:14 tells us. So this is the word of God. Now, the reason here in Judges 7:4 that the Lord instructed Gideon to bring the remaining 10,000 men down to the water was to try them. Have you ever been tested? Have you ever been tried? The word try here in Hebrew, and I'll probably mess this all up if I try to pronounce it, it's Saraph. It's T-S-A-R-A-P-H. It's number 6884 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. But that's not what's important. The important thing here is to know that the word try means to test or to prove true. And if you want to do a study on this word, it's a whole Bible study in itself. But I'll give you some places where we find this word, Saraph, in Scriptures. In 2 Samuel 22:31, 2 Samuel, it says there, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, Saraph. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Psalm, I'll give you a couple psalms. 1 and 17, I'll give you more than that. Let's go to Psalm 17:3 to start with. A lot of these psalms are written by David. Do you think he trusted the Lord? He's mentioned as an Old Testament worthy of faith in Hebrews 11. Psalm 17:3 says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, that same word again, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Next chapter, Psalms 18:30. Again, we've read this in 2 Samuel 22:31, but here we have it again for emphasis. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Psalm 26:2. Go there. There it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Same word, try. Psalm 105:19. We find the same word again. Psalm 105:19. It says there, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. So, just with these half a dozen scriptures or so, we should see that the word of the Lord is used to test and to prove true those that will live by faith and trust God. But wait, there's more to this word, Seraph. It also speaks of refining, which is the process by which silver and gold are made pure. Psalms 12:6. go back there if you want. Stay in Psalms. I'll give you several of them here. Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's pretty pure, isn't it? Psalms 66:10. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. See how that word is used? And then Psalm 119:140. Psalm 119:140. Your homework assignment is to memorize Psalm 119. Just kidding. I think it's the biggest chapter in the whole Bible. Is each eight verses of that is dedicated to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each verse in there has something to say about the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119:140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Go to Proverbs, next book in the Bible, Proverbs 30. These are good verses, by the way, to read over and over again. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. That word pure is that same Hebrew word, seraph. And 30 plus times we find the word seraph in Scripture, and you can look these up on your own. The last one I want you to go to is in Malachi 3. And this is the last place where we find the word seraph used, the Hebrew word. It's used twice, and in what we're going to read, Malachi 3, 2 and 3. And it kind of puts an exclamation point on this thought that we read here in Judges 7, 4, that God was going to try them there at the water for Gideon. Malachi 3:2. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. That word refiner is that word seraph. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And I imagine most of you are familiar with that story of the silver refiner. But if you're not, I'm going to read it to you. I wasn't going to give you a copy of it, but the printer broke, and I didn't print a bunch of them at home. So if you'll see me later, I will put you on a list to get a copy of this. But the story of the silver refiner goes like this. There was a group of women in a Bible study, and they were studying the book of Malachi. And as they were studying chapter 3, they came across verse 3, which says, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. This verse puzzled the women, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. And one of the women offered to find out about the process of refining silver and get back to the group the next week at their next Bible study. So that week, this one woman called up a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest in silver beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. And he explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire where the flames were the hottest as to burn away all the impurities. The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that he sits a refiner and purifier of silver. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. The man answered, yes. Then not only had he sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left even a moment too long in the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked the silversmith, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? He smiled at her and answered, oh, that's easy, when I can see my image in it. You've been in that trial, that hot trial, for a long time, and he holds you there, but he doesn't take his eye off of you, and he wants to see his image in you, all of us. What did we see when Brother Ken was here? The last. We seen the Lord, didn't we? If you didn't see the Lord in Ken, then you were asleep, you know. And he was in the fire. And we even got to see the Lord's image in him, didn't we? How about us? Okay. So let's read our scripture again. And I'll try to get you that copy of that story. I can probably email those of you that will email me and tell me you'd like that. And the Lord said unto Gideon, Judges 7:4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. Boy, that is going to see who's wanting to go with him and who isn't. And it shall be that of whom I shall say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. Note that it was the Lord who proved with a test those whom he would choose to go with Gideon unto the battle. And this also, I want you to note, this was the second test the Lord had prepared as to a sufficient witness, a sufficient testimony unto Gideon to prove who would be the ones to follow Gideon in this conflict with the Midianites. We're not going to have just one test in our life, one trial. And we're going to have several, many. The test that the Lord had prepared is explained in Judges 7, 5 and 6. So he brought down the people into the water. There were 10,000 of them at this point in time. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So the results of who passed this test of the Lord is found in Judges 7:7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man into his place. 300 men out of 32,000 passed the Lord's test. That's less than 1%. This further proves that God isn't interested in numbers. The Lord was interested in those that would follow him, and Gideon was his mouthpiece at this time. The Lord has now told Gideon the following, if you think about it. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's Judges 6:12. The Lord has told him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Judges 6:16. By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Judges 7:7. Now, Gideon's 300 men are mentioned as 300 men five times in this midnight Bible story. Once again, it shows us that by grace are you saved. For with this 300, God will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And I'm going to talk a lot about Gideon's 300 men as we move on with this study. I'll tell you this much. The number 300 is the number that points to a warrior or warriors. You won't find that in any numbers book anywhere, but that's what it means, okay? And this, too, defines Gideon's 300. They were warriors. Enoch, he was a warrior of faith. He's found mentioned by name in Hebrews 11:5. And he had a simple testimony that he pleased God. How does that equate to the number 300? We'll get to that. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's found in Hebrews 11:6. We found back in Genesis 5 that Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became fruitful and beget Methuselah. 300 is the number of a warrior. After 300 years of walking with the Lord, Enoch was translated. We ain't going to have 300 years. Okay. What do we have? 365 days a year. Okay. Warrior Enoch was one of the earliest Old Testament full overcomers. And he let the Lord fight his battles for 300 years. Don't think Enoch wasn't tested as he went along. And the Lord showed him some stuff. Gideon's warriors, they will let the Lord fight their midnight battle too. And we all have these midnight times in our lives. Judges 7:8. So the people took victuals as food in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his own tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, this doesn't read very clear here in the King James Version, so I'll give you an expounded translation. Expounded translation is nothing more than a compilation of several translations that help us understand this verse a little more clearly. So let's read Judges 7:8 like this. So Gideon took provisions and trumpets and pitchers from the people for the 300 men that the Lord chose. And he sent all the rest of the Israelites back to their own dwelling place, keeping only the 300 men prepared to give battle. And the camp of the Midianites lay below in the valley. Now, between verses 8 and verse 9, Gideon got acquainted a little bit better with the 300 men the Lord had chosen while awaiting divine orders from the Lord. What are we going to do now, Gideon? I don't know. I'm going to have to wait on the Lord for this one, you know. And it says in Judges 7:9, and it came to pass the same night. Well, that was a midnight time, the same night. Then the Lord said to Gideon, arise, get thee down to the host, that is of the Midianites, for I have delivered it into thine hand. So here's what the Lord has now told Gideon. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. By the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. Now, before we move on, recall the questions Gideon had asked the Lord back in Judges 6, 13 through 17. And there Gideon asked for a sign and he asked for miracles. But the Lord had already given Gideon at least three signs that he was indeed with Gideon and he was indeed directing Gideon. But the Lord also knew Gideon's heart. And we know we need a little bit of a boost every now and then, a little bit more encouragement, right? We read this verse in Psalm 103:14 a few weeks ago concerning God. For he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. We're fragile, very fragile. We might think we're tough, but a little something goes just a little bit wrong, and we're not so tough anymore, you know. We're fragile. And so God knew how fragile Gideon was and that another sign was in order at this present midnight hour to further encourage Gideon. So let's look at what it says here in Judges 7:10 and 11. And it says, here's what the Lord said to him. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Now think about this for a moment as if you were Gideon. You now have a 300-man army, and you are facing an innumerable multitude. Would you have a little bit of apprehension? Would you have a lot of apprehension? And we all would. So it'd be nice to have a little bit more encouragement from the Lord, wouldn't it? And Gideon was no different, and the Lord knew Gideon would follow his instructions. He'd already followed the Lord's instructions. So he encouraged Gideon to go spy upon the Midianite camp with his servant Purah. And their mission was simple, to hear what they say. These two, Gideon and Purah, would then have sufficient witness of what the Midianites were talking about. And the Lord knew that afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. And strengthened here means to be encouraged. It's the same thought that's found in Ephesians 6:10, where Paul writes to us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You can't be strong in yourself. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And it's the very same encouragement that the Lord gave unto Joshua several times. And we've read this before, but in Joshua 1:9, the Lord says to Joshua, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wear that scripture because he's with you too, wherever you go. And The Apostle Paul wrote the same words differently in Hebrews 13, 5, 6, and 8. And we've read this before. And it says, therefore, he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And then he adds in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord that was with Gideon is with you. Okay? And so, at the midnight hour, Gideon and Pura, under the cover of darkness, sneak down to the edge of the Midianite camp. And this will be continued if the Lord tarries next week, if the Lord tarries and wants us to. Meanwhile, you can read about it on your own.